Again, I wonder if you have your Bible with you, please. I want to read a psalm. Psalm 103, please. A well-known psalm. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The psalm that I read to you this morning, Psalm 103, it's a very familiar psalm. And one of the commentators said that he would call it David's Hallelujah Chorus, because in this David is explaining why we should praise the Lord. This psalm is known as an envelope psalm. It opens up with the words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And in the last three verses, David uses those words again, "Bless the Lord." As David starts to write this psalm, I'm convinced that David's thoughts soar towards God. And David thinks back on his life of the many benefits that he has received from God. You see, David comes before God in this psalm and he realizes that there aren't many things that we can bring to God. Certainly, we could bring our money and our offerings to God. But as you read this psalm, you will find that God is the creator of galaxies of gold anywhere in this world. We could bring him our services. Yes, we can. But God has ministers of state far greater and far more gifted than you and I to attend to his throne. And so as David realizes this, he comes to this conclusion that there is only a few things that we can bring to God, and that is our thanksgiving and our praise. And this morning from this psalm, I just want to leave with you some of the reasons that David gives as to why we should praise the Lord. First of all, in verse 3, we read this, that he who forgiveth all our iniquities. Talking to those people this morning who have been to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the penitent sinner, his sins have been forgiven. And yet of all, as we walk through life every day, in the world that we live in, we are constantly under bombardment from Satan and the things of the world. Some people think that whenever you become a Christian, all in the garden is a bed of roses. Well, I'm sure that many of you know this morning that that is not the case. Because the moment that we step out for Jesus Christ, the moment that we start to get involved in a work for Jesus Christ, the moment that we start to do something that will bring glory to God, Satan is always there. He will try to disturb. He will try to wreck. He bombards us in many different ways. He is the master of raking up our past and our troubles. You know, as he does that, I'm sure as well as you know, and as far as I'm concerned, Satan knows my weakest points. And I'm sure you're quite aware of the same, that you have weak points in your life, and Satan will constantly bring those before you. But you know, I have always this conclusion and always come to this, that as I read through God's word, God reminds us time and time again of who this person really is. And he brings before us the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer, is the one who has saved us and promised to keep us. John, in the Revelations chapter 12 and verse 10, he calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. Satan hates God's people and seeks every moment in his opportunity to have a go at us. He sifts our souls. He does everything to destroy us. Isn't that what the Bible says? He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And you know, I'm sure there are times and occasions in my life whenever he would face the Lord, and he would say, "Do you see this fellow Albert Smith? You see the problems that he has? You see the things that are in his life? You see his past? It is anything to be admired." But you know, even as he does that and seeks to destroy me, I'm so thankful this morning that in spite of all that's wrong in my life, God still loves me. And I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Satan would seek to accuse me before God, the Lord Jesus Christ would lift up his nail-pierced hands and he would say to him, "I paid the price. His sins are forgiven. He has been redeemed." His sins are not only forgiven, his sins are forgotten. That's what the psalmist says. This word, forgiveness, in the Old and in the New Testament, has a word. It means this: to take away and to put it in another place. God did that for me. He sent his beloved Son into the world at the cross of Calvary. And today my sins are forgiven. My sins are cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. David says to us this morning, is that not enough to praise God for? Should we not praise God for the fact that our sins have been forgiven? And then he goes on in verse 3 and he says this, who healeth all thy diseases. This verse does not talk about the healing of the body. This talks about the healing of the soul. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He heals the soul's diseases. How does he do that? Well, if you turn to the Psalm 107 and verse 20, it tells us he sent his word to heal them. How often in life, I know for my own life, Have I been in a place where distressed and complex, and I turn to the Word of God, and just by simply reading His Word, God has blessed me, and God has helped me in the problems that I have had. His Word is the medicine. Can I say that again? His Word is the medicine. How often when we are in problems and we have difficulties, we will turn to everybody and to everything. And yet, my Christian friend this morning, God's Word holds the secret to every problem that we face. What are the soul's diseases? It's not only the body has diseases, the soul has diseases as well. Some of those diseases, let me tell you, are guilt, fear, doubt, anger, depression, lust, hate. These are just a few of the things that I want to leave with you. But you know, this verse tells us that God can heal all our diseases. The medical profession will tell us today that many of these diseases can kill, have killed in the past, and will kill in the future. I know that I have found this lesson out, that it's not worth carrying a problem or a difficulty or something against a brother or sister in the Lord, because I have found out that it does me more harm than it does them. And so it's important this morning that we remember that He can heal all our diseases. Through His Word, we can be ministered to. So David again says, is this not a reason why we should praise the Lord? Verse 4, he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And one of the commentators that I was reading during the week, he says this, who redeems thy life from going to waste. Now very simply, I want to bring you this morning to a place where there aren't many of these places left in the world today, and I remember them well as a child. It's a pawn shop. I remember where I lived in the city of Belfast. It used to be a joke that every Monday morning we used to sit and watch them walking up the street with their little parcels under their arm and going to the pawn shop and getting some money and a ticket. And then the following Saturday they would have been back up again getting it out for the weekend that they could get dressed up to go for the weekend. Now I want you to picture it this morning. On the one side of that counter stands the man who owns the shop. On the other side of it there stands a man who is totally, totally depraved. Simply because he has allowed his life to be wasted in the sin of this world. And as that man stands there, he realizes that he hasn't got much left in life. He has ruined his home. He has lost his home. He has lost his wife. He has lost his children. Everything that he has had has gone. Except one thing. That little band of gold on his left hand that had been given to him by his wife on the day of their wedding. Reluctant to part with it, yet of all he needed money to help him in his need. So he took the ring off and that man behind the counter appraised it and gave him mere pittance for the ring. It can be redeemed, yes, it can, at a certain date, at a certain price. And as he comes back, realizing that he tries to redeem that ring, he comes to the shop with some money in his pocket, hoping that he might redeem it. But alas, the price is too great. He's unable to do that. And as he stands there and tries with tears running down his cheek, telling this man how much it means to him, yet he cannot redeem it because he has wasted the money that he had got for it. And you know, as I often think of that and picture that man, I often think of my own life, a wasted life, a life that was given over to sin, and a life that was heading far, very quickly to a lost eternity. But through the prayers of God's people and through God's Holy Spirit speaking to me, God brought me to that place called Calvary, where my life had been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, where the Lord Jesus Christ took my place on that center cross. How great a price was that? Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. At Calvary, he did not only redeem our lives from hell, he redeemed our lives from destruction. David says, is that not something for what we should praise God this morning? In verse 4, he also says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. He brings us away from that pawn shop experience, and he brings us into the palace. And now we're in the place where we can. God has lifted us out of the mire and clay. He has set our feet upon a rock, and now we're walking through the beautiful corridors of splendor into that throne room itself. He's going to crown us in the same way as he does everything else. You see, God goes beyond our imagination. God goes beyond human thinking. Do you remember whenever he made the world in Genesis chapter 1, we read this, that God said, let the waters bring forth fish. No, he didn't. He said, let the waters bring forth fish abundantly. Do you remember whenever the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, and Moses and Miriam and the children of Israel, they started to sing out there on the sands of Sinai. And this is what they sang. The Lord hath done triumphantly. No, the Lord has done gloriously, triumphantly. He has brought us into the room that he might bring us into that place where he might show us kindness and mercy. No, the psalmist says, he wants to show us loving kindness and tender mercy. So you can see this morning that David is trying to encourage us this morning to realize how great is the God that we adore. How great is this God that we love. In verse 5 we read, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The commentator that I was reading said this, that the word mouth could be translated old age. And so he says, he satisfieth thine old age with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The eagle is a long-lived bird, and those who watch it and study it will tell you that every year the eagle sheds its feathers and it grows new ones. And this happens every year, even when the eagle, which they tell me these birds live to a right age, even when it's an old age, it can renew its feathers. And so it has been said that of us, that we can be renewed each year, each day that we live, we can know the blessing of God. I often say this, that the devil has no happy people. There are some people who might think they're happy. I work with some people, and they'll come in on a Monday morning, and I'll ask them, what sort of a weekend did you have? Can't remember. Where were you? I went out with the boys. How did you get home? I don't know. What time did you get home? I don't know. What were you like the next day? Terrible. And yet of all, they tell me they're happy. My friend, Satan has only one purpose in this life, and that's to destroy you and to take you to a lost eternity. I trust that this morning you will remember this, that God has nothing for the best for those that love him. Remember, there was a man lived some years ago that called him Har Hughes. In his day, he was known as one of the wealthiest men in the world. He died at the age of 70. He had all this world had to offer him. In that year, they reckoned he was worth $2.5 billion. Over the last 20 years of his life, he was rarely seen. He spent the last 20 years in his pajamas, never dressed. He lived in fudge cake. He weighed 90 pounds when he died. He suffered from malnutrition. He had all this world had to offer him, but he wasn't a happy man. He died without coming to know Jesus Christ. And what David is saying to us here in the advancing years of life, he's just raising his praise and thanking God for all his goodness and his love and his mercy. And as David looks back over his life, he can do nothing else but praise God. My wife tells me that I'm getting old. I believe I am. Because over these past months, we have been sitting at home, her on one side of the settee and me on the other, reminiscing, thinking of the past. Did you notice I sat there, tears run down my cheeks when I thought of the goodness of God? The way that God has blessed us, the way that God has looked after us, the things that God has done for us, far beyond our expectations. I wonder this morning, have you taken the time to think about God and his great love for you? Let me hurry because time is fast closing in. Verse 8 to 10, we see the manifestation of God's mercy and the fullness of his forgiveness. You see what he's trying to say here, and let me read the verses to you. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Friends, when you think of those words this morning, if God were to deal with us in the way that we live, I believe that for many of us we would be in a mess. His mercy and his love go beyond our understanding. I think of a story that I once heard about Queen Elizabeth I, and she had a favorite man within her court, and they called him the Earl of Essex. And she loved this man, and she thought so much about this man that she said to him one day, I'm going to give you one of the rings of my hand. And if you ever get into trouble or you need me, all you have to do is return the ring, and I will give you an audience, and I will try to help you as best I can. She gave him the ring, and he left, and some years later she received the ring, not from the Earl of Essex, but from the Countess of Nottingham, who was a relative of the Queen. And then she had said that some years previous, when the Earl had been in trouble, he had given her the ring and asked her to send it to the Queen, that the Queen could give him an audience and spare his life. She never done it. And she asked the Queen if she could come and visit her as she lay on her sick bed. And as Queen Elizabeth, it is recorded, looked into the Countess of Nottingham's face, she used these words, God may forgive you, but I can never forgive you. And I know that there are many things and many people in this world who can never forgive. I often used to hear Pastor Carson say this, you can forgive, but you can never forget. How often it comes up in our mind. And here we're looking at a God whose mercy goes beyond our understanding. Verse 11 and 12, he talks about the measure of God's mercy. He talks about the heavens being high above the earth. He talks about the mercy of God being as far as the east is from the west. You see, if we were to take a point on this earth and go straight up into the heavens, well, scientists tell me they're talking in billions of miles to reach some of the planets. They talk about measuring distance in the sky in light years. It can never be found out. And that's where the love of God, it reaches from the earth to the highest heaven. And it also goes from east to west. Oh yes, they have found the North Pole, they have found the South Pole, but no matter how far west you go, you still go west. No matter how far east you go, you see, your sins can never be found. And somewhere between that perpendicular line and that horizontal line, there's a place called Calvary, where your sin and my sin were dealt with. And that's the measure of God's love. He multiplies his mercy. He forgives us time and time again, as a father would forgive his children. So the Lord pitieth those that love him. Verse 19, he talks of the sovereignty of God's security. He hath prepared his throne in the heavens. Do you remember that day as he stood on the mount and he was leaving, and those two angels came back and they said, "Why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus that you see him go shall come again in like manner." John 14, he said to his disciples, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again." This place that is being built is not with some great construction company. It's made by God. And someday he's coming back to take those who love him to that beautiful place that he has gone to prepare. Oh, my friends, this morning there's much can be said of this psalm. But the supervision of his kingdom in verse 9, his kingdom ruleth over all. The world that we live in today is such in a mess. And as I read my Bible, as I've already said this morning, I'm convinced that the next great event in the calendar of God is the return of Jesus Christ. He's coming for those who love him. Oh yes, we might listen to presidents and politicians. We might listen to the great leaders of this world, but none of them have the answer. None of them can sort out the problems that we have. Aren't you so glad this morning that God is still on the throne? Can't you understand what David is trying to say to us this morning? Can't you understand as he comes to the end of this passage of Scripture, over and over again he repeats, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." You see, I'm convinced that as David comes towards the end of this, he's getting excited. He looks back and he realizes the God that he has, this great God that is, his life is in God's control. And he's so thankful for that. And he's getting excited that, well, this God has done everything for him. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you excited about what God has done for you? Do you take the time every day, as David I'm sure took, to praise God for his goodness, his love, and his mercy just to you? For the fact that he sent his son to die for you? For the fact that he has promised nothing but the best for the children who love him? If for nothing else, to thank him for the fact that there's a day coming when he's going to take you from this sinful world to be with him in heaven? I want you to leave this place this morning, my friend, thanking God, praising God for all that he has done for you. And may you do so for his name's sake. Amen.